We had two successive parables last week and this week. They start off with that phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. The first one, last week's, is like a master who decides to call in his employees and call them to account, the ones that have borrowed money for him, and one has this incredibly huge, massive debt. Can you imagine being so far in debt that it would take working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, times 164,000 years? Like, what on earth did he borrow? But you have to step back and go, okay, who's the role of the master of the household? Who's the guy who's this badly in debt? And what is the debt? Because obviously this has nothing to do with money. I hope it's obvious that it has nothing to do with money. It's actually, you know, remember, the kingdom of heaven is like. It's talking about God. It's also talking about all of us. Who owes this huge debt? You know, who's the guy with the huge debt? If you've got a mirror in your pocket or your purse, hold it up in front of your face. Huh? Because that's us. The debt is the impact of the sins that we commit against God. The damage that we do, the breakage that we do to this relationship. And that's a debt that we absolutely can do nothing about. We can't pay that back. It is impossible for us humans to pay God back for the harm that we've done. But notice what the guy in the parable does. He pleads with the master and says, you know, please have mercy on me, because he's about to get sold into slavery to pay it back. And so what does he do? You know, this guy is in the role of God here. What does he do? Wipes the debt clean. How did that happen in reality? This. Second person of the Trinity owed no debt whatsoever. Beholden in no way for anything, but came and willingly took our debt to the cross and paid it off with his own blood. Through his suffering, his death, and resurrection. So, having received that, what should have been the response of the guy with the debt in the parable when a fellow servant came up who owed him something? They've just gone and let it go. In response to the generosity he received, he should have likewise been generous, but he's not. The debt of sin that we owe to God, we can't pay back, only God could. And God did. The debt of sin that others commit against us doesn't even stand close in comparison to it. And so here's where the twist of the parable comes in. When the master hears that this first one had gotten hold of the other guy and was throttling, saying, pay back what you owe, and then he throws him into prison, he has him arrested and sent to prison and to the torturers until he pays back everything that he owed. And then the, if you will, punchline to the parable is, just so will my Heavenly Father treat you and me, unless we do what? I feel like I'm trying to hold a heavy anchor here. Unless we do what? Unless we forgive our brother, mother, father, sister, friend, neighbor, whatever, from the heart. The generosity of God has done this for us. The expectation is that in response to receiving that generosity, we will forgive each other from the heart. The second one for today comes right in parallel with that. Again, we've got a vineyard owner who goes out at 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m., 5 p.m. to hire workers for his vineyard. The first group agreed for the usual daily wage. The other ones he just calls and sends out into the vineyard. How does he pay them? He starts with the ones who only worked an hour first and gives them the usual daily wage. So the first ones think what? Well, I'm going to get more. And they get the usual daily wage. How do they react? Again, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like, who's the vineyard owner? Who are the workers? And what's the pay? Again, obviously, it has nothing to do with money, but it has to do with what? This is God, who is calling all of us to work in his vineyard. Some respond early, some respond late. And the pay is what? Pay is eternal life. Now think logically for a minute. Is there such a thing as more eternal life? Or less eternal life? Let's say I hire Larry and his wife at 6 a.m. and then I hire this family sitting next to them at 5 p.m. The pay is eternal life. Who worked longer? These two on the end, the Hills. And then I pay them, who only worked an hour, the same as them. How do we react to that? You know, most people, when they hear this parable, is one of those that the kind of almost spontaneous reaction is, that's just not right. We think that's not fair. But again, this is the kingdom of heaven is like. It's a manifestation of the generosity of God. Even if you do not repent and turn yourself over in faith to God until you're almost taking your last breath, you will still get what? Eternal life. Along with those who may have committed themselves and been faithful workers in the vineyard from their teens, say. Eternal life is eternal life is eternal life. So what's Jesus trying to address here? It's one of the things that can actually lock us out of eternal life if we're not careful. It's called envy. Remember this even in the gospel passage itself. Are you envious because I am generous? Remember the first reading? What did it say? My ways are not your ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts. God doesn't work on tit for tat. God works on generous mercy that is beyond our comprehension. And yet, that's something that Jesus has been struggling with since he began his three-year ministry. There are those who see the generosity of the mercy and compassion that he's showing sinners and is driving them up a wall. There's an incident, he's in the synagogue one day, and a man comes in who's got a shriveled hand, and the Pharisees, the corrupted ones, and some of the scribes, they're just watching. It's like, what's he going to do? And Jesus knows what's going on in their heads and hearts, and he says to them, is it right to do good or evil on the Sabbath? And they had no answer. So he tells the man, put out your hand. And as soon as he does, his hand is perfectly made whole and restored. And they just go ape over it. The woman caught in adultery. They're trying to trap him up. They bring him thinking they can get him to say something inappropriate so they can condemn him. And he does what? Let the one of you who has no sins throw the first stone. And they all just wind up going, yeah, and slinking off into the sunset. And then he turns and says to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and what? Sin no more. And again, that drives them totally ape. It's just time after time. They see Jesus being kind and merciful to people they consider sinners and unworthy of anything. And they can't stand it. They don't get it. What should be our response when we see God being generous, kind, compassionate, and patient and merciful with somebody? You would think gratitude, joyfulness, praise, thanksgiving. But instead, how often do we do the opposite? We see somebody getting something that we think they don't deserve. Who are we to decide they don't deserve it in the first place? And who the heck are we to tell God, hey, you're not supposed to do that? Now, this is us trying to put ourselves on God's throne, and I tell you what, we don't fit that throne. It's letting our heads get too big for the doorway. But again, the kingdom of heaven is like what we're supposed to notice, head and heart both working together, is just how kind, generous, and compassionate and understanding God is, and lavishly pouring out mercy upon his children, which is us, even though we do not deserve it, we have not earned it, we do not merit it, we are not entitled to it in the slightest. And yet, it's being poured out in lavish abundance. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Is being offered to you with the same generosity it has been offered to every generation of faithful Christians that have gone before us. Our response? Joy, thanksgiving, petition for those we know need that mercy, and humbly remembering that we need to ask it and receive it ourselves. There's not a single person here who does not need the mercy that's being talked about in last week's and this week's parables. We all need it. But we also need to humbly receive it and then share it.